beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal. Yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Good morning and welcome to our worship as we prepare for our Holy Week. It's Palm Sunday and we're welcoming Jesus in with the shouts of hallelujah and hosanna. We're glad to have you here to worship with us this morning. I have a few announcements. I'd just like to remind everyone that this week on Friday evening at 7:30, we will have a Good Friday service here at church. It's the Seven Candles and the Approaching Darkness. It'll be a drama with hymn singing and some special music. So please come out and join us on Friday evening at 7:30 for that. And then also on Sunday morning, the Area Council of Churches sponsors Easter Dawn services, and this year they are at Host Church. They are at 6:30 a.m., and there will be breakfast provided following the service at Host. And next week we will have one worship service here, Sunday school at 9:30 and worship at 10:30. So hope to see you all here next week with us. Any other announcements that anyone wants to call to our attention? Matt.
To move Jane Diamond, so please see Gary Bayshore if you're able to help with moving Jane Diamond this Saturday. And also, you would have noticed a few weeks ago, the Topi packs are being provided for by the Area Council of Churches, but we do still collect the $5 if you would like to help a student be able to get a lunch on a Saturday. So you can put $5, give that to the cafe or give that to the offering and just mark it for the Topi pack. It would be a breakfast that they can get on a Saturday. There's actually a box in the back for it. Okay, so put it in the box in the back, and we'll just continue collecting that through the school year to be able to help students who don't have meals over the weekend. Thank you.
Seeing no other announcements, I'd like to invite you all to stand and join in our call to worship. Lord, we thank you for enduring the cross, for taking upon our sin and giving us new life. What we feel as pain, we know you intend for gain. Help us trust our lives to you and lead us, Lord, to your will. May we always give you glory and seek ways to use your gifts given us. Let us now lift our voices and proclaim the victory in your great name. Join us, the words will be projected.
Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know he is the way to heaven. We want to see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know he is the way. We want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see Jesus lifted high. Step by step we're moving forward. Little by little we're taking ground. Every prayer a powerful weapon. Strongholds come tumbling down.
Jesus lifted high. We're gonna see Jesus lifted high.
Amen. You may be seated.
It's always good to come before the Lord in prayer, and I encourage you throughout the week to just keep your bulletin prayer list handy. We do ask you to add Barry Bayshore. He remains in the hospital checking kidney function, some other things to make sure they're in line. But please add Barry Bayshore to your prayer concerns, as well as keep those listed in our prayer concerns with you each day as you pray. There's a microphone that'll come around if anyone has any other joys or concerns they'd like to share with their church family.
It was in July, and the first doctor told her that, yes, she has bulging discs in her neck, and perhaps she should start wearing a neck brace. So she's really frustrated with that. She's gone 9 months without a neck brace. She's had an MRI as she was pregnant during the accident, so she couldn't have some testing. And the MRI revealed that she also has a fracture in her spine, which was not diagnosed.
Just an update on the Bryant family, on Daniel. Daniel's waiting for an admission date for a video EEG to help locate the origin of his seizures. The family's asking that to pray that the video EEG is successful and that a more invasive procedure is not required. And also prayers for the family, for their schedules, as Daniel will be in Children's Hospital in Philadelphia and just traveling back and forth. And prayers for just a successful outcome.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us here in this place. We thank you that we can be the fellowship of believers. We can come together. We can praise your holy name. We can thank you, Lord, for the abundant blessings in our lives. But we too can thank you, Lord, for the pain and the suffering that we endure. For we know that you went to the cross. You went through the worst imaginable pain any human being could imagine. And you gave it all. You gave your life that we might be free. We might be forgiven of our sins. So today we celebrate that very fact, but we look at our lives and we realize often we're so thankful for the blessings. But Lord, we often don't thank you for those times we see thorns in our lives. We see the trials in our lives. So we just pray, Lord, that we would be able to be thankful in the good times and in those more difficult times in our lives. And so we turn to you this morning. You know those individuals upon our hearts, those that are looking for a healing touch, those that need comfort, those that need guidance, Lord, that are just looking for your nearness to them. And we just want to lift up by name those on our prayer list. We lift up Carl and Barry, and lift up Linda and Xavier and Christine and Lester. We lift up the Bryant family, especially Daniel this morning, Lord, as the EEG is upcoming, Lord. We pray that that would be successful, and we just pray the schedules would work out for Greg and Sarah and just bless them on their journeys, keep them safe to Philadelphia and back, and we just ask for your will to be done in that family's life. And we lift up Jessie this morning. Lord, you know precisely what she's dealing with. You know everything that she carries as a burden each day. And Lord, we know you are the master physician. We have seen your healing touch upon so many individuals. And we're just asking, Lord, if it be your will, you would just touch Jessie's body and allow her to be completely restored, to be made whole, Lord, and that she would just be able to know that it was your hand upon her, as we pray that for every individual facing an illness here this day. We know, Lord, that even with those things that we carry the ability to be strong because of you giving us that strength to carry through. So whatever it is this morning, Lord, we're dealing with, we just place it at the cross. We hand it to you. We surrender it to you. We give it up and we just say, Lord, use us in what you're providing us at this time in our journey with you. And we know, Lord, that you'll be glorified if we just allow you to be able to let us see what you're doing. And so, Lord, we don't always have that ability. And so we pray for understanding and patience, Lord, as we go through these times of suffering and trials, but Lord, there's much to be thankful for. We know that you have given us new life, and we look at the cross and we remember, Lord, that you paid the price on that cross for each of us, no one excluded. And we just thank you, Lord, that this world has hope, that we're able to see through the darkness because of the light that you have given us. So Lord, we pray for families this morning. We pray for parental guidance, Lord. Help us to raise our children, Lord. Help us to be able to be grandparents that you call us to be siblings you call us to be, and to be friends to one another, Lord, as we encourage and uplift. We just pause now, Lord. You know the sins that have entered our lives, and we just pray prayers of confession during these next few moments of silent prayer. And we just thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers. Lord, we just thank you so much for the forgiveness that you offer through the cross. We thank you, Lord, that the tomb indeed is empty and we can celebrate that death has been conquered. But Lord, we know these lives that we live are full of so many difficult circumstances. We know there are joyous moments too, Lord, but we just want to focus on those times where you're trying to build something within us that we don't always grasp. So Lord, just turn us toward the thorns this morning. Help us be reminded of the crown of thorns that you endured for each of us, and that you give us the crown of life. So thank you, God, for meeting us here in this place, for giving us exactly what we need in this very hour. And we just pray we would continue to worship you and you alone. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please join us in response to prayer of Jesus, what a beautiful name. And many of you know Matthew 6:24, one cannot serve two masters, one being money and one being God. You can't serve both. And I was trying to apply this, and I'm like, we need to give our gifts. And you may not be able to give a lot financially, but you can give the gift of music, the gift of song, the gift of prayer. You can give the gift of a friendship. You can give the gift of keeping our books at the church. You can give the gift of being an historian for our church or for other members. And you can even be a donkey or a Shrek. And you can share that gift of the ability to take that talent and share it within the church. So as you give your gift of monetary donations this morning, think of your other gifts that you can give throughout the week to your fellow church members. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the gifts that you have given us. We could not repay anything
even close to what you gave when you gave your son, Jesus, who died on the cross for us. We cannot repay that gift. We never planned to, but let us give our gifts from our hearts and let us show your love in the gifts that we give. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, we're going to play a game, all right? I'm thinking of something that's pointy and sharp. A pencil. What else is pointy and sharp?
The crown of thorns that Jesus wore.
Well, you just played my game and you won. All right. What else might be pointy and sharp? We're going to forget you said that because I want to play the actual game. Okay, you are right, though. What else is pointy and sharp? A knife. Can you think of anything else? What's something that's red and pointy and sharp? They grow in your garden.
Roses.
Roses. What are on roses that are pointy and sharp?
Thorns.
Thorns. There we go. Now we can lead on to the what else is has thorns. Now you can say your answer of the thorns. And
the crown that Jesus wore. I mean, the thorn crown that Jesus wore.
The thorn crown that Jesus wore. There we go. So, what happens if we bump into the thorns?
They prick us.
They prick us. And do you think it hurts?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. You've got poked?
Yeah.
It hurts.
Once I got a scratch from it, ouch.
They really hurt. So, let's think of thorns, so to say, in our life. So, like, bad things that might happen in our life, what would be some examples of those? What's a bad thing that happens in a life?
You don't get a good grade.
You don't get a good grade? What else might happen bad? What about getting sick? Is that bad?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or what about losing a loved one?
That's true.
Is that really sad, or is that really bad? Yeah? As we celebrate Jesus coming into Jerusalem today, paying the price for our sins on the cross, let's thank him for the thorns in our lives. So instead of thinking, oh, this is so bad, why don't we be thankful for it? Because it happened. After all, they help us to grow and be more like Jesus. The roses in our lives are easy, and they're like the good things in our life. So getting the good grade, or passing a class in school, or anything else that might be good in your life. Let's pray. Lord, you are with us in the thorns in our lives and in the beauty of the roses in our lives. We want to thank you for all your pain and for the challenges today. Thank you for going to the cross and offering forgiveness of my sins by giving your life as a sacrifice. We praise you always. Amen. You guys go back to your seats. Thanks for joining me.
Our first scripture this morning is in the book of Luke, chapter 19, starting in verse 37. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. The second passage is from John 19. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him in the face. Once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man."
Thorn, noun, a small, sharp, pointed growth on the stem of a plant.
If you've ever picked your own roses,
or gone hunting for blackberries in the woods,
you know that the simpler definition of thorn is ouch.
Why is it that some of nature's most beautiful things are protected by painful prickles?
If I were a plant, I would tell you that my thorns are to make it more difficult for the friendly neighborhood herbivores to eat me. But I'm not a plant. And as far as I can tell, neither are you.
We are people. We do not like pain, no matter how it's inflicted.
We risk it often. We can tolerate it for a while. We sometimes inflict it upon ourselves and even celebrate it when it is for some greater purpose.
Some degree of pain is even guaranteed as part of the process when we enter this world as babies.
But we do not like it. And just as when we are newborns, we scream and cry.
We ponder and pontificate, and we wonder why bad things happen to good people.
And those good people we're wondering about?
We almost always include ourselves in that number.
So our question really is,
why me? Why must I feel the poke of a thorn?
Why must I suffer because of someone else's bad decision?
Why must I bear the pain of a child gone astray?
Why must I carry the weight of a parent with dementia?
Why does God let this happen to me?
No matter how often we ask the question, we really don't want to hear the answer.
Because the truthful answer is, we don't know.
God said to Isaiah, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways."
As big as the gap is between heaven and earth, the gap between my thoughts and your thoughts is just as big.
Bad things happen.
And God is not what we sometimes make him.
He is not simple.
He is not safe.
He is not nice.
He is love.
But love?
Well, love can hurt.
It certainly hurt him.
The intensity of his love led to bleeding stripes on his back.
The depth of his love for us led him to a painful, stumbling journey through the streets of Jerusalem.
The magnitude of his love for us led him to spikes on his wrists and ankles.
You want to talk about thorns?
Maybe. Like a mother bird who lines her nests with thorns to force her fledglings to fly.
Maybe. Like a runner powering through aching feet and cramping muscles to win the race.
Maybe. Like the Apostle Paul's thorn in the flesh that forced him to depend on God's overwhelming grace.
Maybe God uses the thorns to cause us to thrive.
In his wisdom, he can use the things we think are good and those that we shun as bad to shape us.
So then, good or bad, I will rejoice in the Lord my God.
When the thorns tear my skin, I will remember that he is faithful.
When the difficulties mount, I will remember that he is merciful.
When my enemies threaten to devastate me, I will remember that he is mighty.
There is no pain that will cause me to turn back.
My hope is in Christ, and in him I will rise.
Jesus' entire ministry has been leading to this very moment. The King of Israel riding into the capital city of Jerusalem on the back of a borrowed donkey, never ridden before. Some say if you make friends with a donkey, you can expect one day to be kicked. Well, not this donkey. This donkey knew it had a divine purpose. We can imagine that journey to Jerusalem to be a smooth ride for the Savior of the world. There were giant crowds of followers paving the way with cloaks and palm branches. They're singing and they're praising, and today we might even respond, "Hosanna, Hosanna, hear the people cheer. Riding on a donkey, see the King appear. Riding to Jerusalem in lowliness and love. Jesus, the Messiah, sent from heaven above." So this praise, it gets louder and it gets louder. And the Pharisees are getting fed up. And here's what they do. They tell Jesus to silence his followers. We can see it now. Jesus shaking his head, replying, "They must give me glory. Keep them quiet and these rocks will cry out." Now, friends, if you've ever been to a rock concert, you've never been to a rock concert that could have happened like this. These followers knew how to praise. And friends, this morning we have abundant reason to praise. We have abundant reason for joy. You see, God isn't always who we make him out to be. He's not some monster. He's not the cause of our pain. We allow this thought to interrupt our focus. Can God even be trusted? In a world filled with thorns, we forget this world is not the world we need. Friends, it takes context to know who God really is. Yet when we truly think about it, our lives determine who we think God is. But he's calling us today and all of the days to serve him despite these thorns, to bring peace to a world that he loves so much. It's been said that talk is cheap and action is costly. But some things cost a lot, and only love will justify the expense. Today we know that that love is brought forth. As John MacArthur says, Jesus' purpose in riding into Jerusalem was to make public his claim to be their Messiah and to be the King of Israel. Remember that this fulfills Old Testament prophecy. One thing Dr. Dorsey said in seminary that always sticks out in my mind is the Old Testament will always point to Jesus. Matthew says that the king coming on the foal of a donkey was that exact fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9. It reads, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So here we are, Jesus riding into his capital city as a conquering king, and is hailed by the people as such in the manner of that day. The streets of Jerusalem, the royal city, are all at this point open to him. And like a king, he ascends to his palace. This isn't some temporal palace, but the spiritual palace that is the temple, his spiritual kingdom. Now, we praise a lot of things these days. We worship what we shouldn't worship, but we know in our heart of hearts only Jesus deserves our worship. But notice here, for the very first time, Jesus is not telling anyone to stay quiet. He's not saying after they've been healed, don't tell anyone what just happened. You see, the time has now come, and the time is now here for open praise, for open worship, for letting people know that this is our King, Jesus the Messiah. It's who we've been waiting for. But as we know, as the story unfolds, all good things come to an end. As a matter of fact, it's not at all who they expected. They didn't see him as their savior from sin. They wanted a messianic deliverer, someone who would revolt against Rome. And so it seems at times in our own lives, we're looking for a different kind of God. Perhaps a God that doesn't allow pain, that doesn't allow evil in the world. A God that only blesses us in the ways we want to be blessed, financially or with abundance of things. But as the saying goes, without pain, there's no gain, and how true that is. Look back to the thorns that have been in our sides and remember the qualities that they produced unlike any other. Those times that we worried, those times that we fret, those times we suffered, that we struggled, they did something in our life that nothing but good could never do. So this morning, when we have thorn-filled thinking, we start to see one thorn of experience is worth a whole wilderness of warning. That roses don't have thorns, but thorns have roses. That no pain, no palm, no thorns, no throne, no gall, no glory, no cross, no crown. Indeed, friends, the way that we think affects our view of God. But maybe today, maybe this could be the day we start to offer gratitude for the thorns instead of always thanking him for the roses. After all, it is the real experiences of life, those thorns that should never be plucked from the roses. The reality is there are those that still don't believe in Christ as Savior. It was the same that very day. We know this because the same ones who hailed him as king are later saying, crucify him, crucify him. And it's the throne of what we could call disgust that thrusts this contrast. This, my friends, is the story of the king who came as a lowly servant on a donkey. He didn't come on a prancing steed. He didn't come in royal robes, but the clothes of the poor and the humble. Jesus came not to conquer by force as earthly kings do, but by his love, by his grace, by his mercy, and his very own sacrifice for each of us. It's not a kingdom of armies and splendor, but of lowliness and servanthood. MacArthur puts it so well, he conquers not nations, but hearts and minds. And so we ask ourselves, has he conquered our hearts and minds? Do we find peace with God? Not a temporal peace. You see, if Jesus has made a triumphal entry into our hearts, he will reign there with peace and with love. And that peace and that love will flow from us into the lives of others. And when those thorns of life begin to poke and begin to prod, the world will see that the true King reigns within us because we know that he triumphs over us. After all, it's not our story at all, is it? It's his story. So a while later, after Jesus' trials and flogging, and before he was crucified, the Roman soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. While a crown of thorns would be more painful than we could ever imagine, they were more about the mocking than they were about the pain. Here was the King of the Jews being beaten, being spit upon, being insulted by low-level Roman soldiers who took a symbol of royalty, who took a symbol of majesty, this crown, and they turned it into something painful and degrading. For us, it reminds us of two things. Jesus was and is indeed a king. Revelation 19, 16. One day, the entire universe will bow down to Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What the Roman soldiers meant as mockery was in fact a picture of Christ's role as suffering servant and conquering Messiah King. The amazing thing thought is that it belonged to you and to me. We deserved to wear that crown, to feel the thrust of the thorns. We deserved to feel that blood trickle down our face. We deserved the pain. Don't lose sight of this. Jesus took our crown of thorns and he offers us the crown of life. If you're ever going to keep your focus, this is the time of year we must remember. Jesus was willing to endure the pain, willing to endure the insults and the shame, all on our account. The crown of thorns and the suffering that went with it are long gone now. Hebrews 2:9 keeps this in perspective for us. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. You see, friends, he tasted death for us. And not only tasted it, he conquered it so that we might live eternal. Now, if we take a step back in time, when Adam and Eve sinned, we learn something else about thorns. Remember, those thorns brought evil and a curse upon the world, a part of that curse upon the ground. Genesis 3, 17 and 18, because of you, in pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. So the Roman soldiers unknowingly take an object of the curse and fashion it into a crown for the one who would deliver us from it. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Friends, Christ in his perfect atoning sacrifice has delivered us from the curse of sin, of which a thorn is a symbol. Now, while it was intended to be a mockery, the crown of thorns was in fact the most excellent symbol of who Jesus is and what he has come to accomplish. Today, we've seen how the thorn can bring pain, how our lives are made up of painful events. But friends, as always, we're reminded our pain is not the end of our story. We've seen it time and time again. God will use it for something far greater, just like he did with his son on the cross. We may never understand the thorns of life, but we can be assured God is who he says he is. And God, being love, will never fail. He'll never give up on us, and his love will never run out. So today, friends, whatever thorns are in your life, no matter how painful they are, remember the thorns that Jesus wore on that cross to save us from our sins. May we be reminded this week that his pain was indeed our gain of new life. Would you pray with me? Lord, we do celebrate this week, knowing that Sunday is coming. But Lord, we do remember the pain. We remember the torture, the mockery that you went through for our sake. And Lord, it should have been us. But you willingly went to that cross. You willingly went through everything. Not your will being done, but your Father's will. And so this morning, we want to change our thinking of who you really are. That you are a God of love, a God of compassion, a God of mercy, a God of grace. And no matter what thorns we find in our life this day, they have been conquered. And that one day it all too shall pass. And we will live eternally with you, free of pain, with joy forever and praise on our lips. We pray we would make that a reality as the kingdom of heaven here on this earth. May it be so in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
I invite you to rise to your feet and join us in singing My Savior, My God.
Understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know at his right hand stands one who is my Savior. I take him at his word and deed. Christ died to save me, this I read. Solace from the spring, that he who lives to be my king once died to be my Savior, that he would leave his place on high and come for sinful man to die. You count it strange, so once did I.
invite us to ponder those words, my Savior loves, my Savior lives. And as we go forth this week, consider ways in which we might use the gifts the Spirit has given us to show that our Savior does live, that our Savior does love. May it be so in Jesus' name. Amen.